Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Night. You know what that means. Somebody was echoing there. It's the Mark Order Podcast for Wednesday, August 26th. The Go Home Dynamite to AEW All In, baby. We are close to Wembley. We had Collision taped as well today, so that'll be a taped show for Saturday. But we are back as a trio. We are in the trios division. It's me and the New Day over here. Definitely. When I think of both these guys, I'm like, they resemble Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston in so many ways. So there's
that. You can't see, but I'm doing the hip swivel.
There you go. Frequently, you will find these two with a nice bowl of Bootios. That's why Joe does a cereal review block, is because the Bootios. Ryan has several unicorn horns that he could be wearing at any given time. But we appreciate you hanging out with us. We got Taylor Cannon and Matthew Hooks and Lord Kev in the chat. Lord Kev, I hope you're doing all right. I know you've got some sick pet issues going on, so sending you my best. And this is my third show of the day. I'm very tired, so I'm sorry if I am not at my best, but this was a good little Dynamite to get into. We have our Continental Cup finals shaped up for Wembley. I don't think it was a surprise once we started to see how this was going to take shape. We had a really good promo to kick off the show by Will Ospreay, but some good AEW news before we get into it too. Vert Vixen has signed with AEW ROH. I would imagine she's going to be on the ROH side. She's been doing some work with Viva Van and such. So that is some good news as AEW continues to bolster its women's division. But chat along with us. Leave a thumbs up if you would be so kind. Subscribe to this YouTube channel if you have not. But we're going to get into it. But fellas, how you doing? Let's start there. Ryan, how are you back from your grind running? Did you have a nice grindless 2 weeks from the podcast?
I mean, you guys almost ran as much as I did because you missed one show too. To be fair here.
We did. That means we did still 100% more than you did.
Yeah, but I at least was in a different state or something. You were just at home.
We were in a different state too, a state of exhaustion and not going to do this uneventful time of my post show with a 35-minute overrun.
Grind runners.
You're one to talk. This is my third podcast of the day. What the hell, man?
This is my fifth.
No, it's not.
You guys just don't know it because they haven't aired yet. It's my fifth.
I don't believe you. And more than that, I don't care. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just envisioning Ryan doing a podcast, just talking to a mic that's not plugged in.
Yeah, that's believable. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that for sure.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I booked my fall football trip, so
okay. Where are we going?
It's Oregon this year.
So ooh, okay. West. Love that for you. What time of the year are you going? Like, which month are you going in?
It'll be in mid-October. So.
Oh, that'll be beautiful. That'll be a beautiful time.
No. No Piscataway trip for me this year.
I think Oregon will win. thanks for hanging out with us in the chat. We're going to get into this. Before we dive in fully, how are we feeling going into All In now that we kind of know what this card looks like? What do you guys think kind of overall of the build now that we're almost at the finish line?
I'll let you go first, Joe.
Well, apparently I'm echoing. So I
it's definitely you, because the only time it didn't echo was when you were talking.
I only heard it on the intro, honestly. So
I'm hearing it now.
Oh, there it is.
Let me hop out and I'll go back in.
Okay, so then I'll go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a great card. The build, they're kind of falling into the old WWE problem, which is when you have so many pay-per-views, building to each individual one gets more difficult because you're shortening the time span you have to tell it. But that said, I'm excited for it. I mean, you have the great tag match. The main event's going to be amazing. Willow versus Mercedes is just... that's on fire. I'm blanking on some simple matches.
The triple threat, the Don Callis triple threat is going to be ridiculous, I think, between Okada, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher. Like, I think it's very easy to consider either of the men's, women's, or this triple threat. I think all have potential to be match of the night. Like, I think it's going to be a... just come down to preference, I think, is a big piece of it.
Yeah, and they're going to... MJF versus Andrade going to be another great one.
Well, that'll be all out because they're in the Casino Gauntlet.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Sorry. They're feuding so much.
Who do you think wins the Casino Gauntlet? I'm hoping it's Ciampa.
Yeah, it's not... It shouldn't be... Andrade and MJF should cost each other.
Yeah, I think one of them.
They should both be about to win, and the other stops it, and then they should be fighting each other so much that they can't. And then Ciampa would be the best person to kind of step in and win it, because he'll be fun as like a first feud.
Yeah, I think honestly, whether it was Kenny or Ciampa or Will and Ciampa, which I think is the more likely thing, I think that would be super, super fun. I don't think Ciampa beats Will, but like as a first defense out of the box, I think that's super fun. I also feel like if you wanted to, an arriving Ilya Dragunov versus Will Ospreay is something I could get behind immediately. If they are going to sign Ilya Dragunov, though, I feel like him being in the Continental Classic would be like the right move for him as far as like a place where he's going to pick up momentum. Cause I do fear that Ilya Dragunov in a proper tournament could move me greatly.
Yeah. I mean, if you pick up Dragunov and you just want to debut him just for the pure pop of it.
Sure.
The Casino is perfect for that. Cause it doesn't hurt him if he doesn't win.
Right. That's what they did with Ricochet.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be out once the Demand lost the Trios titles, by the way, with Ricochet. Loving that they've kept that.
Yes.
Even more relevant than ever. And then maybe the match that I think we're all most intrigued by, at least I know one person on this show is, would be a Mr. Nigel McGuinness versus a Mr. John Moxley, because I legitimately don't know how that match goes.
Yeah, that one is really interesting because it does feel like we're kind of getting this. We never got a Nigel retirement run, and I'm wondering if that's what this is supposed to kind of serve as. And him holding it, having a couple defenses, and then losing in the Continental Classic would be great. Him losing to whoever wins the Continental Classic would be great. Like I could see Nigel winning at Wembley if this is kind of like him winding down his in-ring career. He's got another baby at home now. He might be thinking in terms of like, I didn't get to properly retire. My greatest foe in Bryan Danielson is retired. Like maybe it's time for me to kind of hang it up here. But Nigel versus Moxley, I think just from an in-ring perspective is going to be so fun too, because they're both so violent with how they move. And Nigel is so technical and clever, and Mox is so like ground-based and jujitsu focused. Like, I think that has a chance to be a really, really special match. And to your point, like I could see that going either way. Cause I think getting the title off of Mox is okay. I think keeping the title on Mox for a different challenger is also just fine. Like if it came from someone within the Death Riders instead or something like that. But I'm intrigued. Joe, we're kind of just talking overall all-in build here. What have you thought of it? What are you most excited for? We were kind of talking about like both the men and women's world title match and that Don Callis family triple threat are like, from an in-ring perspective, just going to be, I think, pretty special. Any casino gauntlet surprises you could see? I'm wondering, like, selfishly, I'm always going to be like, I wonder if Danielson comes back there just for the pop of it or whatever. But who knows? What do you think over there?
Well, hopefully I'm not echoing. Am I echoing anymore?
No, you sound great.
No, now you're good.
I don't know. I heard you talk about Ilya. I think that's a good shout for the men's gauntlet. I don't know. I'm trying to think who else I had in my top of my mind. But yeah, I think the main championship matches, I feel like we know who's going to win, but it's not going to take away from what we're going to get from the matches.
Sure.
And talking about Nigel, I was thinking about watching tonight. I'm like, the fact that we've been able to see so many Nigel matches since he came back in AEW wrestling, I feel like there's so many more than we ever thought we would get. So if this is his retirement run, it's been really fun to watch him, you know, have that match with Danielson, have that match with, you know, ZSJ, have these matches with Kyle O'Reilly, like, and now to have one with Moxley. I think he's kind of been spoiled.
Yeah, there is. I know I'm like a technical wrestling sicko, but it is such like a career longevity thing when you are a specialist like Nigel is, because he's really violent about it. like he's still nasty as ever. I feel like that's what's been kind of cool to me about this Nigel run is it's like, it's not like he's still got it. It's like, no, he's still got it. Like he looks as good as ever. Like those lariats off the rope and stuff, but like the way he's so clever in the ring, like stuff we'll talk about, like the referee arm spot tonight of like getting under Kyle O'Reilly's skin and also tricking him. Like he's so clever and savvy in the ring, and he has such a timeless style that I think that's really helped him. He's also in ridiculous shape. Like he's in better ring shape than some active wrestlers much younger than him today. So I think that one's an interesting one, because I feel like it is one that doesn't have an inevitable outcome. I also like in the women's match, I feel like Mercedes is going to win, but I wouldn't be like completely stunned if Willow retained. Like I feel like that one, I feel like the only surefire one is like it's got to be Will. It should be Will. But I could see Willow retaining and them doing, you know, another one at All Out, or Mercedes going off a deep end. And if Bailey is available, maybe she comes in and talks Mercedes off a ledge in a couple months or whatever. So I agree that there's some that seem like they have inevitable outcomes. I think we could see a couple tricks up our sleeve. I think that triple threat, my expectations are maybe the highest for in ring. I also think Kenny Omega wrestling rarely, but like, man, big match Kenny is still a thing. He always steps it up for these things. So I'm excited. I'm excited for, even though the road to get here has been a little bit weird at times, like I think they're going to deliver something special. So let's dig in, because we kick off the show with our Will Ospreay coming home kind of promo here. And I thought he did a good job with this. Like, it's a little more standard, but he's authentic when he speaks about things. So it kind of kicks up a notch. He said he's going to bring it home. He said Kenny had his respect until he brought his kid into it last week. There's a lot of names that he shouts out of past and present European wrestlers, including Matt Kurt. Which I thought was a really nice shout, but there's just some good stuff in here. Like there was a line where he said, heroes are ordinary people that can do extraordinary things. And that's what he's out to prove. And I think this won more on the authenticity and intensity that Ospreay brought to it. Like it felt very sincere. It did feel like he really was touched by like being home and the reaction he was getting. So the content of it was good, but kind of more standard. I feel like he did a really good job with making it feel very real and very connected to the crowd that he was in front of. I really liked that. Joe, we'll start with you. What did you think of Will Ospreay kicking off the show tonight? The crowd expected to be just absolutely nuts for the guy, but they delivered on that front too.
I always can't go wrong having Will kick off the go-home show. I liked the promo from the aspect of I thought it really surmised the growth of him, whether, I mean, personally and as a wrestler as well. I thought that came across as far as talking about his journey and you know, the parallels he's had with Kenny and trying to mature and grow to the spot where he can take over this, you know, the spot of Kenny's. So, I thought it was a lot more focused and reined in than some of his past promos.
Yeah, that's a good shout, too. Like, he did kind of talk about how he grew into being the man and the wrestler that he is. And I think that, like, that bliss point between those two things is kind of what got driven home here. And there was a really emotionally affecting video of him talking to his mom about his recovery. And his mom's, I think, as good of a promo as I've seen in a really long time. Like, just her sitting there talking to her son and saying, like, when you were a kid, because he struggled so much in school, she said, like, are you going to continue on to university or are you going to work? Because you're going to do one of the two things. You're not just going to fold up and give up, right? And she said, God, what was my biggest challenge as your mom was telling you that you're not useless, like just really like hit me hard. Because I think we've all felt that way sometimes. And like, also having so many male friends, I've learned like how inherently male that is. Like if I'm not useful in some way, or if I'm not like doing something that's productive, like I think of men, especially, I think everybody, but men especially, like diminish their own value in that regard. So this is that if you haven't seen the behind the scenes video, I would urge you to check it out, because it's definitely like hits you in the feels for sure. But Ryan, what did you think of our bruv opening the show tonight here?
I mean, I enjoyed it. It was good. I'm hearing myself again. Man, do I sound good. There you go. Now I'm gone again. I don't know how this keeps working, but I enjoyed it. It was good, but these promos, they always feel a little weird to me when it's someone like Will Ospreay, who's a week out from all, you know, this big, not even a week, a couple days out from his biggest match, but has actually been pretty much in and around the main event for the last 2 years or whatever. Like, I don't know. This kind of feels like the thing you do to me when the guy's first coming up and no one knows who he is. Whereas, you know, we're all very well aware, but I'm not gonna say it's bad. It just always hits me a little weird, because it's like, I know who Will Ospreay is. I know what's motivating him. I know this story, but it was good. They always feel weird to me.
That's fair. I think these are definitely just like so driven for the live crowd, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you that we all know who Will Ospreay is at this point. But I think this is more about like being in his home country than anything else, for sure.
And I can accept that he's telling the story of his home country. I guess if it wasn't the go home to this match, maybe I'd feel a little different.
Sure. That's fair.
This just felt like to me something for a guy who's never had a shot. This is the promo he puts out there. And he's had shots. Yeah. So, like,
I think I did like him. I feel like every wrestler should do this for any promotion that they're working in. But he was very big on driving home, like, this is the most important championship in all of wrestling. And I thought that was good. And the stuff he got into with Kenny, I thought was good too. Like Joe alluded to, of the it's you've done great, Kenny. It's my turn now kind of aspect of it, I thought was strong too. But let's talk about the first match that we get, which is Jon Moxley versus Claudio. And this might be a bit of a hot take. I was kind of expecting more from this. Like, there was nothing wrong with it, but the story of these two guys, like, being, Like if the whole story of the Death Riders is iron sharpening iron, I don't feel like we got a lot of them trying to outwit each other or outmuscle each other. I mean, Claudia would win that fight, but you know what I mean. Like, there wasn't a lot of just like your best, my best volleying in the storytelling of this. And there was also nothing that hinted at anything with the actual dynamic between Mox and Claudio of like one of them getting a little too chippy or whatever. Like, the match was great. These two are great wrestlers. I liked the finish a lot. I thought the finish was fantastic. Claudio swinging Mox into the barricade is like, that swinging spot is always ridiculous and nasty, but this actually kind of left me underwhelmed from an in-ring story perspective. Considering like technically, like for Moxley, the title's on the line every time he goes out there. And like, I don't know. I wasn't getting a struggle of like, I would be so honored if this guy beat me because he's my guy, but also like over my dead body. Like I that didn't come across as super vivid to me. So there was nothing wrong with it per se. I was just kind of expecting more from it. And knowing that we were probably going to get Nigel in the next round, like I thought some of the like beastly storytelling was going to happen in this match rather than between Mox and Nigel. So nothing bad about it. Obviously these two are fantastic wrestlers and they know how to put on an entertaining wrestling match, but my expectations from the storytelling perspective were a little bit higher. Ryan, what did you think of our opening match, Death Rider versus Death Rider, both of them riding death on the road to Wembley here?
I agree with everything you said, so I can't really change, like, debate any of that. I think they missed an opportunity here, based on what I hope happens this Sunday, which is I want Nigel to win, which means Mox has to lose. And to me, it's a kind of a wrestling trope, but I would have had Moxley not cheat, but kind of pull a cheap win over Claudio so that Claudio could then be pissed to be like, you were cheap in how you beat me, Mr. I'm the best. And then you went and lost to Nigel to start some friction within the Death Riders, which I think is needed.
I think that's fair. Like a little chippiness or a little even just like desperation on Mox's part, I felt like would have helped. Like a little more urgency for this, I think, would have been good. As we are joined by the wonderful 1LT Photo, thank you for hanging out with us. Joe, are we being ridiculous or did you also have higher expectations for this?
I mean, maybe one of you are, but you figure out which one. No, in-ring was fine. It was a Death Riders match. It had, standard star match on the mat, no outside brawl, get physical. I would have thought that them training and working together so much that, they really attack one another's strengths, like the whole working on the arm of Moxley to try to soften it up so when he goes for the bulldog choke, it's not as effective. I don't think, Claudio didn't do that enough for me. It's little things like that where I thought knowing each other so well, they could have attacked things differently. And to Ryan's point about wanting Claudio, more of a story to Claudio, I think I would want that after him, last week beating Daniel Garcia. And now he's, losing to Moxley, feeling like, the number two in the group and never, he's kind of the sidekick. I mean, what Claudio to do something differently? Yeah, I feel like we are kind of in the rut with what we're doing with the Death Riders.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing with the Death Riders is it doesn't seem like the younger class has gotten a chance to shine or develop. Like I keep waiting for like Garcia and Yuta to pick their dads and stuff like that. For Claudio, like I love dickhead heel Claudio, like condescending piece of shit Claudio moves me tremendously. Like his ROH run where he's like the espresso drinking suited up guy is not who he is in the Death Riders anymore, but I would love to see, like, this group is great, but also technically very pretentious with what their mission statement is, right? Like, there's a right way to do things, and we're the right way is a pretentious mission statement. So I would like to see, I don't necessarily need like dissension or infighting or like the predictable group breakup stuff, but I do want to see some movement from Garcia and Yuta in this, because it's just like, I think we know Yuta is their Scott Malkinson, right? Like, he's the guy that just like everybody hates. I don't think he has diabetes, but like we know that, and Garcia we know is a great worker who hangs around them. Like there's not like a ton moving forward for them. So whatever this like inevitable upheaval is, I hope that we get to see them get showcased a little bit more, but some good stuff, not great stuff, I think is what we got from our opener.
I mean, never really got anything from Marina. I mean, she had a little bit of a run, but like nothing ever really benefited from me in the group.
Yeah, where's the, just like Marina getting matches is what I want to know. Like just getting singles matches, I feel like would be a very fair thing. A very fair thing. But we do have our AEW World Tag Team Champion Adam Copeland and the Young Bucks versus the Don Callis family. And this match was probably more of a hoot than it should have been. Like sometimes I just forget how fun the Young Bucks are. Like they're so much fun to watch, and like just the most, everything they do is tandem offense pretty much. It's not like we have these tandem offense moves. It's like all of the, I know how to read where you're going with stuff is so vivid and fun. And this one goes the way you think it would. The Bucks of Cope are the winners here. You get poor Rocky, who's got a, I love Rocky Romero. Rocky, you got to stop sliding into the corner on your knees. It bites you in the butt every time. Kenny walloped him. Will walloped him. This happens here. He goes to celebrate and does the knees into the corner, and he gets his ass kicked every time. So we get a double super kick here and a spear from Copeland, and that's what the match ends on. But fun match. And then after this, we get this Christian Cage promo that I really liked. Like their promos haven't always been for me. I liked the disposable cameras thing that we got from them, and the 5 second pose. Like that was a fun thing with the dogs. The storytelling between the two of them has been good, but this I thought was a really nice framing for what this match is, of Christian coming out here and saying like, the difference is you guys are influential and we are legendary, that they've named pay-per-views after us. And I love the Young Bucks retorting with, have they named a company after you? Oh, I loved it. I thought that was such a nice, because we get generational stories so much. And I do like Cope and Christian being like, we're the best of our generation or any generation. And that's what we're out to prove. But I loved the wording choices tonight. I thought it was really well done. And Christian doing a promo that was kind of sans your mom, your dad stuff, which is always very funny and he's very good at, but there was something like refreshingly a little more sincere about this, a little bit more, it felt like what should be on a go home, as far as like, we're gently guiding you to tell you that this is what this match really is about, was like, they invited you into that without telling you that. I thought it was actually extremely well done. So, Joe, what did you think of the match? And were you as big of a fan of the post-match promo as I was?
The promo part is far better than the match for me. The match was, it seemed logical for, you know, can they coexist kind of thing, with can you build a little friction between the Bucks and Copeland? Can they coexist?
Can they coexist is really good.
but I appreciate the matching you tonight. They're all looking good. So
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you watch the bus long enough, you kind of know like what moves they're gonna go into all the time. It's kind of repetitive for me. Still impressive, but just kind of repetitive.
Sure, that's fair.
One more afterwards, though. The question has always stayed basically the same persona. He's still going to be who he is. And I'm definitely, the promo wasn't as, you know, your mom, I'm your father type of stuff, a little bit more serious. I was waiting for him to be like, let's just call it, chairs, ladders, and tables match for All In and just have that match. I really thought they were going to go that way.
Yeah, I think everyone was expecting like a four pack with the New Day and Motor City Machine Guns or like what all these things might look like. Sometimes, some years, we've gotten a thing where it's like they set up something even cooler for All Out, right? Like they do something pretty cool at All In and then they set up something cooler at All Out. I wonder if that ends up being the case here or if that escalates to a stip match or who knows, maybe we just get an announcement on social media that it's going to end up being a TLC match or whatever. But like the inevitability of an FTR return is certainly out there. So maybe they save that for further down the line. Ryan, what did you think of this match and our poor Rocky Romero getting clobbered in this and our post-match promo we got here?
I mean, you were right on. The Bucks are, they're somewhat like MJF in the sense that like every time people start to be like, what about them? They go and they wrestle and you're like, oh, I remember why they were so loved. And they are so loved. They are just very good at what they do. And they're actually very good at their character work too. I mean, it was only however many months ago that the Broke Bucks were the funniest, one of the funniest things in wrestling. So like, I feel like people have very big swings on them. Like one moment they're loved and they're at the top. And then could be 2 days later, it's like they're overrated and they're done. It's like, guys, just relax. That being said, the match was awesome. A lot of fun. The post-match. Oh, I mean, if you want the fun scale, hold on.
First of all, of course I want the fun scale.
This was a 4 out of 4 fun.
Oh, 4 out of 4 fun. Again, okay. So
I think I got the fun scale is based on the show presented in the night.
Okay.
So what could be a 4 out of 4 tonight may not have been a 4 out of 4, may not be a 4 out of 4 on Sunday.
It's the context is very important to the fun.
Yes. It's all relative. The post-match has let me know that in a tag team match, we're going to have 3 baby faces and 1 heel, and that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, I feel like they've done a good job of, like, Christian and Cope aren't on the same page, but it's not like the goofy tactics we normally get of, like, can they coexist? Or, like, oh, God, like the Bucks accidentally pulled an offensive maneuver on someone else, but they didn't do it to each other. Like I kind of like that it hasn't been the same paint by numbers leading to a split kind of stories that we get.
It's a very good exaggerated version of a real life thing, which is you can have a friend who is a complete asshole that most people hate, but you've been friends with him since you're kids, so he's your friend.
Yeah, or sometimes it's like not even kids. Sometimes
she's pointing to you, like, Joe. I want to point out she screwed up, like, her mirroring and she's pointing to you.
No, it's just because my head was here. I'm pointing to you.
You're pointing directly to Joe.
Wait, is my shit mirrored? Oh, damn. I think my setup is mirrored. Damn it.
So you went right.
There you go. Curses.
Literally like, right, you're like, I'm not pointing to you.
I forget that happens sometimes. StreamYard will just like reset your settings. And I, if you haven't noticed, have my actual microphone again. So
I'm very happy for that.
Me too.
Tim McFall is nailing it in the chat. It's Sting and Luger. They pulled it off well back in the day too. You can have some people have that friend, not me, who is an asshole but you're their friend and you stick by them. So it's working in this situation. It's working very well.
I agree. And that was something I know at Fight Club that Sean had been asking for, like, give me my Sting and Luger tag team. Cause they're the right guys for it. Like Copeland comes across as very authentic when he's speaking and doing so nicely. And Christian has been this heel for a while now. So I think it's great. I'm here for it. I'm intrigued to see like what it leads to. And this is another one I could see going either way at Wembley. I do feel like it leads to probably like a bigger four pack or something at All Out. I could absolutely see that being the case. So we'll see. We shall see. But we have Renee Paquette with Don Callis, who puts Mark Davis over, just saying that he's going to be in the Casino Gauntlet. And I think he's a great guy to be in the Gauntlet. Like, he and Kenny Omega is very intriguing. And he obviously has this huge history with Will Ospreay. So I think that one like makes a lot of sense. I'm assuming because Rev Pro is doing their show, like you'll probably get the Zack Sabre Jr.'s of the world. Maybe only him. I don't know of the world applies anymore. So many of them are just signed to AEW, but like potential Casino Gauntlet surprises that are just local pops. I could certainly see. I don't know who other than Zack actually, who would be European and unsigned talent. I don't think like, unfortunately, like Pete Dunne is still under contract. Ilya is from France, I believe. So I don't know of any Brits specifically. I've been really wanting Kaylee Ray to show up. If she was going to do that, I feel like Scotland would have made the most sense. But yeah, I don't know about any other Casino Gauntlet surprises, but I like Mark Davis being in there. I think that's one that makes sense. Any thoughts from either of you fellas?
It's me.
You're the surprise.
I'm the surprise.
It's you. Hi, you're the surprise. It's you.
Yep.
Dang. Okay.
My music will play, and I'll still be making my way to the ring.
What's your music?
It's me singing, like Shawn Michaels.
Oh no.
Yep. But don't worry. Three more guys will answer before I.
I think it's fly when girls stop by for the summer. For the summer. I can see that feels very Ryan Coded on the girls way down
that the way me, bitch. Take me if I have one wish. Going to the summer. No, but you know, it's just gonna be me. I'm gonna come in and do a move off the top rope, totally botch it. By that okay. I mean I won't even get to the top rope. And it'll be quick, but yeah. But I mean I'm excited. Yeah, that it goes.
Andrade, MJF, Ciampa, and then you is a very fun first four guys.
Let's just be fair here. Could you imagine what Wembley's reaction would be? Because it wouldn't be silence. Because silence would be like if someone they knew but didn't care about showed up.
It would be just utter confusion.
It would be the loudness of people saying, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just. Looking around real confused, Joe, your thoughts to Mark Davis and Ryan being in the Casino Gauntlet?
I'm not visualizing like Mark Davis doing a horrible thing to Ryan.
Sure, of course,
that'd be kind of fun.
That would be kind of fun. I feel like Ryan's taking the pin in this for sure, right?
You have to get me in the ring first.
I'm just going to tweet out that Ryan of Mark Order Pod has declared for the Casino Gauntlet. Breaking news.
I'm going to be like, important scoops. Know, just sit there and like, turn back and never get a chance to go in.
It's true. Ciampa could just roll up MJF and you don't even get to debut. That's a possibility.
I'm telling you, they're going to play my music and I'm going to be walking down. Three other guys are going to come out and beat me there because I'm just going at my own pace. And I'm going to just get to the ring, try to climb the ropes, fall down, start to get up again, and the match can be over.
That is a possibility. I think Ryan's going to be in the Don Callis family by the end of the night, which is a concern. Oh, man. We do have a quick Mercedes Monet Willow vignette as well. This has been really good. Like, this has been a very clean, very good build between your women's top babyface and your women's top heel facing for the biggest title at the biggest show of the year. Sometimes it's just that damn simple. And I was kind of nervous because their in-ring segment was so heated that I was like, how are they going to sustain this? I thought the brawl last week was good. This has been some of Mercedes' best character work, I think. And I like that she's now been in AEW long enough that she has the layers and history with people to be able to say things like, you know, Willow smiled through every blockade that I've had, whether it was my injury, whether it was me losing, whether it was at Hurt Hands. She was always smiling through everything that caused me pain is like a very fair thing. And I feel like Mercedes has just kind of star powered her way through so much of her heel run that I really, really like this. I'm glad that the match is happening what it is, because I think it would be running out of steam if not. But I think this is going to be phenomenal shit. And I'm very, very, very excited for that. Joe, we'll start with you. I don't think Ryan is going to enter to make this a triple threat. The only thing I don't like about this is I feel like Tekla's getting screwed unless she is. It feels like we're getting Persephone versus Maya World based on what happened later tonight. But I feel like Tekla deserves to be on this card, certainly. It's weird that she's been absent this whole time. Maybe she shows up for whoever wins. Like, maybe she's the challenger. But how are you feeling about, this segment, but in the greater scheme of things, what we've gotten from Mercedes and Willow?
Well, Ryan might still be in the ring by the time they have the women's match.
It's true. So, you're not wrong about that.
No, great build. I love the fact that every now and then you just have two people who just throughout their time in the same promotion, they are always going to be rivals. It's just kind of the perfect fit. And they found their dance partner in each other. Mercedes had one, in Bayley and other people in WWE, and now she has Willow here in AEW. So nice that you have this, like you said, layer of a story, and then also have the payoff, but then you can also revisit it a year or two down the road if you want to. I can see Tekla coming back, facing the challenger of the winner of this match. I don't want them to do what they've done in the past where, you ride someone for a while, they lose the title, and they kind of like fall off and are on the show for a month or 2 months.
Yeah. I think at least set her up for All Out if that's going to be the case. I think they have an opportunity or had an opportunity to do Tekla versus someone from Stardom, whether that be Kairi or someone else. I know they have Grand Prix going on right now. So I think that just finished, actually. I think Reina just won. So I feel like her getting omitted from this after the great work she did is an issue. But Ryan, what do you think?
How the hell did this feud get so intense so quickly? I mean, I'm not saying they didn't have anything prior to this. There was like brief interactions, but you would think this was like a blood feud from years ago with how intense they've treated it, how much emotion's involved. It's awesome. Like, I'm very pumped. I was excited anyway because just who's involved. But now, like, there's the story beats related to it that I'm really excited for, which is great. They're making Mercedes look vicious in a way that she needed, I think.
Yes, I agree with that.
And there's no better person to do it against than Willow. She's just so lovable. I do agree. Tekla seems to be on kind of getting screwed in this. But that being said, I don't think we've seen that. Well, obviously, we haven't seen the last of her. So she'll have her moments just as much. It sucks because it's not going to be Wembley's huge thing. But I mean, I bet you they find a way to throw her in something to get her.
Sure.
But yeah, this match, I'm so pumped for this.
Yeah, I feel like both the men's and women's picture, they did this kind of sneaky thing where it was like, Kenny's heel turn was predicated on all of this resentment he already had that he just didn't let show yet, of which I loved, of like dating back honestly to when Ryan, when you and I went with Greg to Philly, like that first vignette with Kenny and Will, where Will was like taking pity on him. Like just now, Kenny's been having resentment about that, like the past couple weeks. Like they kind of pulled off this sneaky thing where it wasn't, the heel turn has been sudden, but the reasons why have been organic. So it doesn't feel so jarring. You're just like, oh, he's just like, now he's just pissed about these things that have already happened. That's kind of the case with Willow and Mercedes, except Willow and Mercedes were already very different sides of the coin. And Mercedes is just like kind of fed up with Willow being the one that's constantly standing in her way. So there's been something very easy about these stories. And I think that's really, really good for the product. So love that for us. But the bigger question is not, what are you most excited about for at Wembley? It's not, will this be women's match of the year? The biggest question that we can ask is how you know? Because this segment was just one of those wrestling things that you're like, sometimes it's just so damn simple, because this was just MJF fucking around and finding out. He comes out, he calls Scotland Ireland. He says that in Scotland, a woman who's a 4 is a 10. He does this Andrade impersonation, basically being like, oh, I have to do all these things, right? I have my shirt, I have my catchphrase, and he goes to say his catchphrase with his back turned. And Peaky Blinders, someone on the Fightful account replied that he looks like he's been wearing Inspector Gadget outfits, which pops me tremendously. Andrade just beats his ass coming out from the crowd while MJF has his back turned. He throws up the one, which is very funny because he's been doing this one true champion OTC thing. I think MJF wanted to be acknowledged. And you just get Andrade whipping that boy's ass in the crowd and then in the center of the ring. Like, remarkably effective. I feel like MJF this past year has really found the comfortable ground between low-hanging fruit and cheap heat and just really like high quality stuff, because it's been less like your sports team sucks, but like today he trolled Scotland very, very well. I thought it was really fun. Ryan, we'll ping pong it back to you. This was just pretty classic heel and face stuff leading into the Casino Gauntlet. What did you think?
Now I'm just singing the Inspector Gadget song in my head. Da-na-na-na-na. Inspector Gadget.
Now that's a good theme.
Even though I can't use it because I'm not Inspector Gadget.
And we already licensed LFO Summer Girls.
Yeah, clearly. I just like that Andrade beat the hell out of him. I think that was needed for this. Yes. MJF does MJF stuff. When he wants to, he's a hit. But I like that they're giving Andrade some of his strength back before the matches on this weekend. So it was nothing special, but it didn't need to be. It served its purpose.
I agree. Joe, what did you think? I thought this was just like, this was a hoot for the live crowd. It didn't need to be more than that.
No, it was fun. And you got to ride this wave for Andrade was here, because it's posse then, right? So I love the fact that MJF can just feel like a title program, even though it's not a title program. Like it's a good way to keep both him and Andrade at the front without being in a title picture. But all I can think about when you said how you know, it's just like, you remember the More You Know little PSAs?
Do do do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How you know. I think about those with tremendous frequency too with these segments. We got more people in the chat. We had Greg Cherry in here before. We've got LeBron. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us as we keep moving along this episode of AEW Dynamite. Chris Jericho declares himself for the Casino Gauntlet, and brothers, I could not understand. I was not paying attention to a word he said. I was just confused by his tan and the lighting. He just looked weird. He's in the Casino Gauntlet. That's good. He's the first AEW champion. He should be. I think that he doesn't need a bigger spot on the card this year. So I think that's a good shout. But I was just like, why are you so tanned and why is the lighting so weird?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was that very bad spray tan that wrestlers get more than anyone else. I want to check the technology because I don't see it anywhere nearly as bad as we do with wrestlers. It makes sense. He declared. I mean, why wouldn't you? You want him on the card. It's a match where you could throw a bunch of people in and no one loses any face when they don't win. It makes perfect sense to me.
I agree. Joe, did you feel like this was a cultural appropriation in any way?
You would think that wrestlers, I understand, like maybe some independent wrestlers or things like that struggle with some spray tans, but to get to a certain level, you would think that you really have that dialed in. But
he's been tanning for a number of years.
It's harmless to throw him in here. I mean, it's like a Royal Rumble. You kind of throw him there, get the little pop. The fans can sing their song. Everyone's happy. He doesn't win. No harm, no foul.
There you go. They'll probably set up something for him for All Out in this, would be my guess. God willing, it's not Tommaso Ciampa. I think we finally moved on from that. Guys, sometimes my little techer heart just bum 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 out of my chest. And Nigel McGuinness versus Kyle O'Reilly was the most 4K grabs that have ever been grappled in the world. I love getting these Nigel matches. There's nobody like Nigel still. Like it's so fun watching him wrestle. Like I loved Kyle going for like the ankle based submissions, right? And Nigel countering with his own ankle locks and like getting to see Nigel with these snap suplexes and the stomps to the biceps and the London dungeons. And like, it's always nice when someone's going on like a nostalgia run and like, it doesn't feel like he lost a step. And it's also nice when their matches are tailored toward my exact favorite type of wrestling, because this was counters galore at parts. Like I had so much fun watching this. We do have the London Dungeon for the win as Kyle O'Reilly taps out here, but not before you had strikes from both of these guys, but Nigel recoiling from the ropes and hitting that monster lariat. Like it really is such, like we've seen retirement runs or nostalgia runs where the guys can't really work anymore and it's a little bit painful. Like Nigel, I feel like, is as good as he's ever been, and that's really fun because I don't think he's trying to outkick his coverage. Like I don't think he's trying to do too much. So but I loved this. Like this was, I love Kyle too, and it's like, I mean, God, Kyle the Violent Artist versus Nigel McGuinness, who's like uses technical wrestling in the most violent ways possible. For Kate, this was for me. Nigel winning, I think, is an awesome story, him getting to Wembley. Curious to know what you guys thought of this match, but Joe, you weren't here when Ryan and I were talking. You were kind of in and out of the studio. This one feels like it could go either way. Do you have like a strong inkling of whether Nigel's going to be the one to dismantle Mox, or do you think Mox retains?
I struggle with it because my gut tells me that Mox can win. But at the same time, if Nigel has this moment at Wembley and wins the championship, that I don't know how much this championship really means as far as what it means to Mox. It feels such like a low-tier championship that it would be good for the moment. So I'm going to go probably like 65% Mox wins.
Okay.
35% Nigel wins and kind of where I'm at. But
I'm gonna go 55% Nigel wins because I feel like the Continental Classic is not that far off. So Nigel could have some really fun defenses, do this tournament, and like a fresh champion for that belt might restore some of what you were talking about a little bit. But this genuinely could go either way. What did you think of this match? Wasn't it great?
Oh, it was a match of the night for me. I'm a sucker for chain wrestling, technical wrestling.
I love all the
reversals.
Yeah, the counters in this were magnifique.
And I like the fact that we got violent, serious Kyle in this match again. It's not so always having fun Kyle and like joking Kyle, but he was when he was a heel, that kind of run of a Kyle, attacking, Nigel's leg and things like that, and some of his ankle locks and roll throughs that he was doing. That's why I appreciate the most. And just seeing Nigel come out with, the way he works is, I think, has helped him not miss a beat, to your point. His technical wrestling, it's like running by for him. I don't think it goes away. So it's not like he's in good shape, but it's not like he couldn't do it 10 years from now.
Sure. Legit. Like, I think that's part of the beauty of it is, like, if everything is smart and intentional, like, you don't have to rely on acrobatics or things like that are lesser, more stupid forms. I was like, what's the most asshole way I could say this? Speaking of just being a huge asshole, Ryan, what did you think of this match? And we had kind of already talked about what the possible outcomes were while Joe was fixing his audio a little bit, but are you going to try and make this a triple threat after you don't win the Casino Gauntlet?
Oh, absolutely. I'm running in the middle of the ring again. I might start running to the ring before Ryan. The match starts. Tekker style might favor me a little bit more in the sense that it's slower, but I can't bend like that's needed to make Tekker work.
You grew up wrestling, right? So come on.
I did wrestle, but again, I'm just not bendable anymore.
No.
Actually, it was never great because I'm not bendable.
All that sumo training didn't come through, or?
I can distinctly recall going to doctors for stuff like looking at my, when I hurt my knee or whatever, and they're being like, you need to relax and loosen up. I'm like, this is me loose. Like, I just have no flexibility.
Loosey goosey. I think if you do just like 3 days of DDP, though, you'll be good.
No, I did it for a while and was not.
No, that's, I think try again and you'll be ready to face John Moxley.
Yes. They've been great in who they booked Nigel against, like picking Kyle. That's just, you couldn't ask for a better matchup. Because Kyle, though he's more of a striking artist, is deceptively techie when he wants to be.
Yes.
I'm going 100% Nigel at Wembley. I'm not even going
100%
why. 100% Nigel, I have no doubt. Of course, it costs me nothing if I'm wrong, so who cares? But I'm going 100% Nigel.
Well, I mean, you're trying to you're trying to prove that you like technical wrestling more than Kate.
Oh my God, I know tech better than Kate knows tech.
Oh, you love technical wrestling? Name your three different variations of arm bars. What's your favorite technical wrestling album, Ryan? Let's move along. I did just want to say hi, Jesse Ozog. Hi, Jesse Ozog. How you doing, Jesse? Tim McFavel filling you in that Ryan declared for the Casino Gauntlet. But in the back, we have Don Callis with Kyle Fletcher, who is like, I trust Don Callis with my life. And Okada's like, you can trust me, not just Don Callis, because we're here for family. And he does his best Vin Diesel impression. This was a Fast and Furious promo from Okada being like, family. I love sarcastic Okada. He cracks me up, and it doesn't always have to be the word bitch. It's very, very funny whenever he's just like, you can trust me, what could possibly go wrong? It's very, very fun. I think this match from an in-ring perspective is going to be fucking nuts. And I'm glad that things are moving along with the Don Callis family a little bit. Like, both kind of sections of it kind of have stuff going on right now. So what did you guys think of this? And I will also pose to you, are we headed toward a Kyle Fletcher babyface breakaway here?
I don't want him to go strictly babyface. I prefer him to be more of a, for lack of a better word, tweener. I want him to still have the edge of him, of being kind of the arrogant guy, being a lone wolf more so. And then maybe slowly transition to babyface later on.
Okay. Not mad about that. Ryan, do you trust Okada?
No.
What?
No.
You pressed the wrong button once, and he was so sorry, but you still don't trust him.
But I do think if you're going to have 30 members in your family, finally doing split stories is very useful.
I agree with that. Piece is saying we might see the end of Porn Okada. I don't know if you guys saw, but Kyle Fletcher, when they announced the Grand Slam Perry show... He was like, je suis porno star. And then he was like, oh my God, I meant proto star. The tweet that's under it. So the porn star, Kyle Fletcher. There you go. That brings us to our women's match. You have the Divine Dominion and Persephone versus these birds who are brawling. And Maya World. And let me tell you, don't love seeing like title shot, physical title shots, clean pin after that so much on wrestling television. That happens a lot in WWE, so most of it's not even their fault, but I am very tired of that spot. What I am not tired of is big, strong women beating the ever-living shit out of each other. This was really, really fun when like Alex Windsor and Jamie Hayter are like the cute little ones in a match. That's just a good time. Persephone is an absolute force. It's been really fun getting to see her on AEW more. This would lead you to believe we're getting Persephone and Maya World. I don't know how the rest of that shakes out, but we will see, I suppose. I would prefer it be Tekla if there's not other things in store for her, because I think that would be a fun place for her to go back to, especially with Julia Hart having held that same title before. But Joe, did you have fun watching all these big ass women beat the shit out of each other like I did?
Oh, sure. I'm glad they're beating up other people besides, random people at a bar or random security guards. So I'm glad they're doing something with the tag team now and instead of doing all these little vignettes and things like that. I think the most fun I had was that closing segment where everyone was getting their little moments and hitting all their moves. I thought it was really heavily dominated by the heels in this match, more than I thought it'd be. I thought it'd be a little bit more 50-50, but yeah, hopefully the first win the titles at All In. And I don't know what happened, who challenges them after that.
Yeah, that's my bigger complaint, I think, is that like nobody is beat. There hasn't been anybody built up along the way, or like we haven't even just seen like a lot of women's tag matches outside of this group. I feel like if you're gonna hotshot someone, like they signed the Inspiration and they're so fucking funny that like you could just have them work their way up to a title shot and they would put on a hilarious program with the Brawling Birds. I do think it's theirs to win. I think it'll be a really cool moment for Alex Windsor and Will Ospreay to probably both walk out of there as champions. And they're another team that has just been very good in every outing and a story that's been a long time coming. So I think that's some good shit. Speaking of shit, Ryan.
So rude. These matches are always funny to me, where it's like, all right, you got a story and you got a story, so we're just going to combine them for this match. It's like, okay. But the match was great. I mean, these all great wrestlers, and they all beat the hell out of each other, and I love that. I'm with you that the tag division on the women's side is weak right now in the sense that they don't develop more than one the champ and then one other team at a time. So it'd be nice if they developed more. But if you're going to have two teams fight, those are the two teams I'd want anyway, so why not? So, yeah, I mean, it was a good match tonight, but I just always laugh when it's that, like, we're just going to combine two stories for one match.
Yeah, and they just did this with Willow and Mercedes, so, like, this passing off thing is kind of weird. Yeah. Lena Cross hit one of the coolest pump kicks you'll ever see.
That was vicious.
I should make note of. That was really, really, really cool. I think considering this was initially supposed to be Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, I don't know what happened to Penelope Ford since. But did a tremendous job. Lena Cross did, just like stepping right into this, and they were a really fun duo. Like I really liked this, like kind of Twin Towers tag team that they've come across as. Like they Lena Cross has picked up the like poise and the milieu of what this group is supposed to be very, very quickly. And that made me very happy. So some good shit there. We are coming up to the main event. And let me tell you, when I looked at my clock and it was 9:42 and the main event was about to start, I was like, oh my God, unless they suddenly announce this is an Iron Man match, I think we're going to end on time. So justice for Brian Alvarez, who complains about that every week. I agree. We deserve to know when the show ends. If it's going to be a 35-minute overrun, call it a 2.5-hour episode with a 5-minute overrun. This made me very happy that this ended on time tonight. But we get a hell of a main event, I thought, with Swerve and Jungle Jack Perry, who seems to be on a mission to kind of set up a chip on his shoulder kind of thing. Like they've been doing this, like Jack Perry kind of needs to prove he belongs angle with Swerve, and I could see that extending beyond Swerve if what we think is going to happens, if Swerve ends up in the trios division with the New Day. But this was super fun. Jack Perry's not always for me. Some of the counters in this were exactly what I want to see out of a guy like Jack Perry. Like I thought this was really, really well done. I loved the finish. The big pressure for the win is always really cool, but turning Jack inside out to get it was great. Some really good stuff of like him intercepting Jack and hitting the house call. And this was a really strong match. And I feel like it was one of Jack Perry's better wrestled matches, like just was a smart game plan and didn't rely on entirely his quickness and his ability to jump off things. Like it was a smarter game plan. So I like seeing that there. Right winner though, Swerve has to win this one. I thought it was great, and I was glad that it actually finished early, because we got this quick video package from Kenny and Will after, and I was like, what? No overrun? This ended, I think, at 9:56. I was bewildered. I was so happy. Ryan, we'll start with you, and then we'll ping pong it over to Joe. What'd you think?
So the match was great. I mean, these two are great wrestlers. I do like what you're saying and what they're doing with Jack Perry, which is kind of a slow change into not a majorly different wrestler, but a different wrestler, because I think that's important if he wants to go to the next level, kind of like what Will Ospreay had to do, where he had to stop. He still does some of his high dives and stuff, but he's incorporated a lot more. So it's very smart to start building that into Jack Perry's character. But of course, you're going to have some losses along the way. Swerve's a good one to lose to, because no one looks at it as a bad thing. Swerve himself is in a holding pattern because he's dropped a major hint that everyone has assumed is going to be the New Day. So until that happens, no one cares what's going on with Swerve until he shows them.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job hinting, but not telling you that it's going to be the New Day. Like, I think there is still an air of mystery around it. I do think it's them. But like, they haven't been like week over week showing you more and more. Right. So it's kind of interesting. It would make sense. I think, Ryan, while you were out, one thing that we did was say, like, if we fast forward, like, Kenny loses to Will probably, and then like Kenny and the Bucks have kind of been hinting at reuniting, like doing Kenny and the Bucks versus Swerve in the New Day is such like a gimme program. That's a really great way to get something that's been a dream match while involving some, you know, another top star and Swerve there. So Joe, what did you think of our main event today?
Really fun, more than I thought it was going to be.
How many funds for you? I know you don't have a scale, but if you had to.
Oh, if I had to, if someone can pull it up. No, I will go. Let's go four.
Four funds, not even in the Tokyo Dome. Damn. Okay.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun. It wasn't Kyle O'Reilly, Nigel fun. Like, I feel like that's like four and a half.
Okay.
But, like this whole redemption arc that Jack is on, as far since, you know, becoming a face and coming back and trying to prove his mettle again and prove that, you know, I was a pillar at one time and I need to prove that I can be that guy and be a face of the company. And, you know, why not challenge yourself into someone like Swerve? I was impressed by the athleticism. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just kind of echoing what you said. I think it's a good real life and kayfabe angle for Jack Perry of like, he just resigned. Right. And like, let's show that he can kind of hang with the big boys because he's always been in the mid card and tag picture and like risen to the occasion on certain times. But like, I like that as a story for his character. And I also like that in real life of like, we have to uphold people, preferably pillars also other than MJF and Darby. Like, let's get Jack Perry in the mix on this. I think is a cool use of top tier wrestlers to kind of help Jack Perry along in this regard. But continue, you were saying that you were impressed by the athleticism in this.
Yeah, I forget about Jack Perry's like cardio where he can do three suicide dives and then go do a moonsault. I mean, in the amount of time he did all of that, Ryan would still be walking to the ring.
It's true.
Slow and steady wins the race.
I mean, and like Ryan's gonna want to hear the whole song. Like, if you're gonna license LFO Summer Girls, like you're gonna want to
maybe get twice
the use out of it that you can.
Yeah, maybe twice.
Maybe. I think it would be one of the more affordable themes they've ever gotten. So I think
it's loud when girls stop by for the summer. For the summer.
So there you go. That is your AEW Dynamite. We did have that video package, but it kind of just puts an exclamation point on some other things that we have already seen. But if you guys wanted to comment on that as we wrap up here, feel free to jump in. I am very excited for what this is going to bring. I think people forget like how good the first two ones were because it's been a minute. But Kenny and Will always put on a ridiculous show. So I'm looking forward to it. Fellas?
I'm just excited for it. I mean, no new comments than what we said earlier.
I'm excited for it, but I also dread how long it could go. Earlier
That is fair. I think this does start earlier because we are in the UK, so I do appreciate that. Like, part of the AEW pay-per-views need to be shorter conversation. While I do think it's true, is it's so much more manageable to stay in there because the in-ring's always amazing, so it's easier to hang in there for them when you start them at 4 p.m. Eastern or whatever, because it's like, all right, if it's 5 hours but I'm done by 9 p.m. that's great. Like, I can handle that. That is fine. So some good stuff. I saw some of Collision already because it was taped, and I am very excited that they did an Isla Dawn Mercedes match because Isla's great. And it was cool that they did that in Scotland. I think that's an awesome move, but should be some fun stuff on Collision, but shaping up to be a hell of a card. I'm going to do a prediction show on my channel with Alex Cardoza. Both of these fellas are always welcome to join on AEW content over there if you want to, but it's at 11 on a Friday, so I assumed neither of you would be available. But I'll be doing that on my @BaseKateFabe channel. I did also get my speaking assignment for Podcast Movement. I'll be speaking on Friday from 9:55 to 10:15, I believe, on September 18th. So very excited to do that and return to Podcast Movement. I had a really good experience in 2023, and this one being basically in the backyard in New York is much easier than a Denver commute. However, less Casa Bonita. So not
Casa Bonita.
I don't get to see Joe, and I don't get to see the bright pink walls of Casa Bonita. But,
Casa Bonita.
Oh, Casa Bonita. But I am looking forward to that. Got some more stuff coming up on my own YouTube channel. My account is public again on Twitter because I'm an idiot, but I am looking forward to posting some more stuff on social at Miss Kate Fabe in general. So follow me there. But I am here for all things present and future wrestling. I don't give a shit about wrestling history. I don't give a shit about history at all. I'm not here for it.
Hold on.
I'll tell you that.
You're a liar.
I know, but it's a bit.
But you fucking love wrestling history.
I love wrestling history. I'm such a fucking nerd. But I'll tell you who's here for history in general. He'll go to Arkansas for history. That's what
I will.
Nerd this guy is. Ryan, what do you got going on? Where can people find you? Where can people support you?
So follow me on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. And then my history blog, YouTube, which will be coming back @here_for_history on Twitter. But it will be coming back soon. Just been delayed doing stuff. Like I said, I had to go to Arkansas and do some stuff, and that takes up a lot of my time, but I will have a bunch lined up sooner rather than later. And that's about it. But Kate loves wrestling history, so she's a liar when she says she doesn't.
Come on, man. Kayfabe, bro. You gotta be in for the bit, dude.
No.
Joe, be more fun than Ryan. Be in on the bit, okay? In fact, I am so, like, fastidious about my bits. I am super duper serial.
I'm not. I haven't done a serial review in so long.
You should do Bootios now that we've talked about it.
No, I have to do more. Go find a serial or change the gimmick and find something else to start reviewing. Otherwise, though, you can find me on social media @_AsianJoe. I do have a serial blog. If you haven't read them, I have a link to it in my bio. But if you find a serial out there for me, let me know. Because every time I go through an aisle, I can only see so many flavors of Frosted Flakes or so many flavors of, you know, Captain Crunch.
Fair. Very fair. That'll do it for us at the Mark Order Podcast. We will see you on the other side of All In. Very excited for the big show this weekend. Fellas, any predictions that you want to leave? Any debuts you think we might see? Anything of that and the like?
I've already spoiled mine, but see me in the Casino Gauntlet.
Sure. Well, that's not a surprise now. That's just out there. I'm going to say they locked up Ilya. I feel like he doesn't turn down WWE money unless he's pretty certain there's AEW money there. AEW money there. I do think the New Day is going to be with Swerve. But any other final thoughts on All In, Joe?
No, other than I feel like those are kind of like the obvious guesses, and I feel like maybe they, you know, it would be fun to give us one more surprise that maybe isn't on our radar that we're not thinking about.
Sure.
Or overlooking. So I'm hoping there's one of those, since the other ones seem pretty predictable.
Yeah. I think, you know, with the Casino Gauntlet, there's always, like, Michael Oku could show up in the Casino Gauntlet, or like higher profile people we're not thinking of. So we will see. We will see. A Buddy Matthews return would be great. Okay. One LT photo pointing to that. I think that would be fantastic news. I miss seeing him work, but you've seen us working. Me on three podcasts today, us talking AEW Dynamite, a little bit about All In, talking Vert Vixen signing and all sorts of fun stuff. So hang out with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday that we could be here. We will say goodbye and good night as Ryan narrates.
I put on the outro overlay, I scroll down, find the outro, and I hit play.
Ugh.